Good afternoon. Good to see you, Deepa. Of course, the Assange case is a landmark case, which everyone should be supporting. I wanted to say a few things about the. I've been invited to say a few things about the university sector and the alleged anti-Semitism crisis. And I want to start by say by agreeing and then disagreeing with Tony. I think this is what I do every time I come on. First of all, Tony is completely correct about free speech. It's not an unlimited right. You can't shout fire in a crowded theatre, and nor indeed can you organise to commit genocide and eliminate an ethnic group. That's not legitimate free speech. Now, someone's mentioned earlier that there's a distinction between talking about genocide and organising genocide. Now, this is a distinction of no meaning whatsoever. The idea, the thing which worries me about, one of the things which worries me about free speech, the idea of free speech is that it tries to, or it diverts attention away from the fact that there are more things in the world than speech. There are actions in the world. The Palestinians are oppressed not just through speech. So, free speech, yes, it's an important principle, and of course we have to defend key cases like Julian Assange and others. But the enemy we face here is Zionism and the imperial policies of the Israeli state. And free speech is not the main problem here, it seems to me. It's a problem, but not the main problem. So this is where I want to disagree with Tony, right? Tony said that on the question of naming the organization, that it started with the Labour Party. It didn't start with the Labour Party. It's not started with the Labour Party and moved to the universities. It's an all-out onslaught by the Israeli government, mainly through the Ministry of Strategic Affairs, but also other ministries too, on the left globally. And this is not something which just happened in Britain, just to the Labour Party, just to the universities, etc., which I'll come on to talk about in a minute. It's also happened in France and Germany before it got to the UK. And it happened in the, of course, it's been happening in the US, as we saw with Bernie Sanders and Ilhan Omar, etc. This is an all-out attack by the Israeli government. It's not something to do with the Labour Party, really. The Labour Party is, a mere detail of this attempt by the Israelis to impose their will all over the world. And that's, I think, is what we should recognise. It's not just a question of being allowed to say, "Oh, Zionism's bad" or "Zionism's racism," which, of course, we should be allowed to say because, it is. But also, it's not just a question of that. It's a question of how we defeat the ideology of Zionism in practice. How do we make sure that Zionism is ended, essentially? And there's no other way than saying that. It's not enough for us to say Zionism is racism, Israel is a settler colonial society. These are arguments we might make, yes, but the aim of this is not just to say things, but to end settler colonialism in Palestine and to end Zionism as an ideology, as a functioning ideology of the world. And so that's the thing which worries me most about the idea of freedom of speech, is that it diverts our attention from the practical realities, the material, can I use that word, Tony? I think you would approve of that, the material realities of the jackboot on the neck of the Palestinians. So that's my sort of I agree with Tony, I don't agree with Tony preamble. On to the question of the universities. Now, people have mentioned the UCL vote, and this is a dramatic event that UCL have voted to get rid of the IHRA. This is the first time it's happened. Concerted lobbying effort by the Israelis over the holiday period and the new year to try and undermine this possibility, but people have stood firm and voted against the IHRA, and this is the beginning of our fight back. And I want to say a few words about that very quickly. I mean, the people will probably be aware that the of the four options which were on the ballot, the option which has been favoured is the option to withdraw the IHRA, but to replace it with something else. Now, this is the second best option, in my view. They should have just been retracted and not replaced. But we face, as a result, a huge struggle over what will it will be replaced with. Now, of course, the Zionists will come up, and they already are planning their alternative to the IHRA. It's called the Jerusalem Declaration, And it will be announced shortly at the time of their choosing when they think it's going to make the most impact and have the most effect. So what we'll be faced with here is especially a liberal Zionist case for suggesting that there is a serious problem of anti-Semitism or Judeophobia in this country when there isn't a serious problem. They will try and get that back on the agenda. So we face a massive battle over that. Now, this is a battle which is going on not just at UCL, but throughout all of the universities in this country. As some of you will know, I've been attacked and complained about by the head of the Bristol JSOC, the Jewish Society, along with the president of the Union of Jewish Students, which organizations are, of course, formerly members of the Zionist movement. They are all part of the JSOCs are all part of the UJS. The UJS is a member of the World Union of Jewish Students, which is a direct member of the World Zionist Organization, and in its constitution, the UJS, of course, mentions being pro-Israel. So those kinds of complaints have been made across the country in different places. One against me in Bristol. There's been one in Warwick, again made by a UGS or JSOC person, and there have been several others. And we will continue to see this attempt to drive the possibility of anybody speaking out about Palestine or about what Zionism is or having any kind of critical account of Zionism as racism or settler colonialism, etc. And we have to fight back against that. And the way to fight back against it is to organise proper debates and to get people to understand the issues, but not to be fooled by the idea that there is some kind of liberal Zionist panacea, which is not as bad as the IHRA in some respects. We have to make sure that we are properly across those debates and can fight back against them when they are launched, which they will be very shortly. So this is a problem for freedom of speech. I'm going to finish now for freedom of speech and also for academic freedom. You know, the complaint about me was about a lecture that I gave on Islamophobia, where I said that one of the what I've called the five pillars of Islamophobia is parts of the Zionist movement. Now, this is simply a matter of fact. The Zionist movement, parts of it are engaged in deliberately fostering Islamophobia. It's fundamental to Zionism to encourage Islamophobia and anti-Arab racism too. The pressure that they're mounting here is to try and get us to stop teaching this stuff, to stop writing about it and speaking about it in public, and indeed to stop researching it. So we can't properly go around about researching Zionism or the Israeli state or the Ministry of Strategic Affairs, which is, of course, behind this whole anti-Semitism crisis, because to do so will be in some way anti-Semitic. So I think this is a valuable effort to focus on the issue of free speech, but we must also remember, as I mentioned earlier, academic freedom, which is a specific and separate act, right, as you will know in the Education Act. And lastly, to say that, you know, that it's not just that we want to be able to speak, you know, we want to be able to win as well as to speak. And that's what I would want us to remember.
Thank you very much.